Hi there, welcome on to The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show with a very excited Bruce Millington and a very excited Steve Palmer, looking ahead to one of the highlights of not just the golf year, but indeed the sporting year, indeed life year, I'd say, the Masters. Steve's got his green jacket on. Steve, are you buzzing?
Yeah, it's the first time it's been out for a year. Only comes out for the Masters. It still smells of success after
that. Don't wear it down the pub or anything, though.
No, it doesn't fit very well, but it's very stylish for Masters week. And we're hoping it brings the same amount of success that it did last year.
Of course, last year, Scotty Scheffler, those were the days, weren't they? Brilliant. He absolutely
those were the days.
Didn't he? Yeah, right. And if you're new to the Sweet Spot, welcome along. It's lovely to have you. And obviously, if you're one of our regulars, you'll know what happens. We will normally have a chit chat actually about last week's golf, but I'm so excited about the Masters. I want to jump straight in. I do happen to think that the two winners last week, Corey Connors and Brooks Koepka, could be interesting this week. But then I remember that I just asked the questions. You're the one with the opinions. We're going to rattle through plenty of golfers. So whether you want to follow Steve's advice, mix and match, or just have your own opinions, hopefully we'll be able to mark your card with some very helpful betting advice. And talking of betting, let's get the latest indicative market prices for the Masters. As we always say on the show, do shop around, not just for best price, best place terms. There are so many different place terms. I've seen everything from a quarter to 3 to a ninth to 12. Have you seen anything bigger than 12, Steve?
No, 12 is the limit, isn't it? But you really have got to do your research here and find the package that is right for you.
Yes, that's a very good bit of advice. Okay, so here, like I say, guide prices: Scotty Scheffler, defending champ, 7-1. Rory McIlroy, 7. John Rahm, 9. Jordan Spieth, 16. Patrick Cantlay is 18. We've got Justin Thomas at 20. Cameron Smith at 22. Tony Finau, 22. So Xander Schauffele. And then the 25 shots are Jason Day, Colin Morikawa, Dustin Johnson, 28 Cam Young, 30 Max Homa, and 35 Barr. And of course, the beauty of this is that we've got the livers and the PGA loyalists back together. One not particularly happy family, but they're all together. 18 livers are back, going head to head with the PGA stars. What a week we've got. I guess, Steve, I don't want to dampen the mood, but the only thing that is slightly concerning is that the weather forecast is horrific. There's so much rain forecast for the weekend. I guess we can't rule out a Monday finish, can we?
Yeah. Please don't dampen my mood. I mean, I am going to rule out the Monday finish, I think. I think people are getting carried away with this Monday finish talk because there's not a lot of electrical activity in that forecast, is it? And don't forget, Augusta's got this, you know, state-of-the-art sub-air system, can suck moisture out of the course. So, you know, let's not worry about heavy rain. At the weekend, we're going to get some heavy rain, but I think Augusta can handle it. Don't forget, it's a very small field as well. So, yeah, we're going to be okay.
Okay. Well, even if we're not, so what? It's always good to have a Monday finish as well, isn't
it? Yeah. Five-day Masters. Let's have a five-day Masters. Let's have a five-day Cheltenham Festival. I don't even know how many days that is these days. Let's have a six-day Cheltenham Festival.
No, don't say that. You get enough grief for daring to suggest five. Right then, before we get your tips, Steve, tell us all about lovely Augusta. Any interesting changes this year? I guess the key thing is, particularly for the people possibly who don't bet regularly on golf, what sort of golfer does this track suit? I mean, mostly it's just good ones, but there's a bit more nuance to it, isn't there?
There certainly is. Augusta National, Augusta, Georgia, lengthened this year to 7,545 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s. Two of those par 5s are iconic, the 13th and the 15th, but they've been changed in the last 2 years. And yeah, this is the interesting factor, what they've done to the 13th. I mean, last year they lengthened the 15th hole and you didn't get hardly any eagles on that 15th hole.
Yeah, it spoiled it, didn't it?
I think it did. Yeah. I think, yeah, the Masters, they talk about the Masters doesn't start to the back nine Sunday. You often get really exciting back nines, don't you, at the Masters? I'll never forget Ernie Els really turning on the afterburners once when I was on him. But, you know, I worry that that's going to change. Again, we don't want to dampen anyone's enthusiasm. I just think what they did to the 15th was a shame because not many people are prepared to go for it in two now. And then what they've done to the 13th for this year is they've lengthened that. I don't think many players are going to be able to get the green in two, particularly with the conditions as they are.
I don't see the point, do you? I mean, it was, they were perfect risk and reward par fives. It made everything so changeable, didn't it?
I entirely agree. I think they are sort of panicking at the moment. You know, Augusta bigwigs, you know, the golf bigwigs in general are panicking about how far the ball's going. They're talking about rolling back the ball and making it, you know, a shorter ball for the professionals. You must have been following that story.
No, I haven't. What do you mean by shorter ball?
There's talk of bringing in a ball that doesn't go as far, not letting the players use the balls they're using now. You know, to retain the sort of integrity of these ancient golf courses that can't handle the technological advances. I mean, that's a chat for another day. I think it's a shame what they've done to the 13th. Yeah, basically every player's going to have to hit driver now, and not many are going to be able to turn it around the corner sufficiently long enough to go for the green in two. So yeah, that's the big change. The Masters always played in April. We had that 2020 edition that was in November due to COVID-19. We're back in April now. What sort of player are we looking for? I mean, yeah, powerhouses. Yeah, you talk about the heavy rain this week. It's very, very soft turf. We had lots of rain in the lead up to this tournament. The March rainfall was incredible in Georgia. The fairways are generous, no significant rough. The trunks of the trees are very thin, so the powerhouses can really open their shoulders. But you know, accuracy on approach has always been the key to winning this golf tournament. So you need accurate approach shots, and then obviously the greens. No matter how wet it gets, the greens are going to be lightning fast. The fastest greens in golf. The field, you always like the field size. I know that's
important,
isn't it? It's one of your essentials. I mean, this is what makes it so exciting. You talk about those magnificent each way turns. There's only 88 runners. You know, two fat ladies, you and your mother. It's a big opportunity because you think with 88 runners you get rubbish each way turns. It goes the other way. It's a great betting opportunity.
And of those 88, Steve, I mean, there are a few who literally cannot win, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is the best betting tournament of the year. I say it annually. Yeah, the early months of the year about building your pot ready for the Masters, because this is such a good betting opportunity. The top 50 in ties make the cut. $2.7 million going to the winner. All very exciting. Do not dampen my enthusiasm.
I'm not gonna. What do you prefer, the Masters or Christmas?
This will offend the wife, but it is the Masters emphatically. Yeah, I really struggle with Christmas, as you well know. Yeah, I find the forced enthusiasm difficult to deal with. It is the Masters. I love seeing my children's happy faces, though. I must say that.
Well, we can have both, can't we? That's the beauty of it. And yes, if you do like the sweet spot, we would love you to hit that like, the thumbs up icon, subscribe, share and comment. Leave us a note telling us who you fancy, and if you nail the winner, particularly if it's a decent price, we'll give you a shout out in next week's show. Right then, without further ado, Steve, everything's set up. All we need is your selections. How many are there?
Four.
Brilliant. A special Augusta four. Well done. Marvellous.
It's the Easter holidays, so I can hear children playing in all the gardens, and they're going to be very concerned about what's just happened there, aren't they? Through ducking. Any golf fans will be ducking there. But I've embarrassed myself in the neighbourhood there.
There could be the wail of police sirens heading towards your road.
Checking the white Nicholas. Okay,
Blind. No, that well. Was a beauty.
All is well. But yeah, we have four selections, and and I'm very excited. Don't know if I can stress that enough. I'm just going to have a Diet Coke, back on the Diet Cokes for this special week as well.
Why not? Well, if you can't push the boat out during Masters week, when can you, eh?
A good point. Well, May.
Do you want free bets for the Masters? Head over to racingpost.com/freebets now to claim all the best offers from your favourite bookmaker. racingpost.com/freebets. Right then, who is your main fancy for the 2023 Masters?
This is a fantastic each-way bet, and I want to stress that. I can't stress that enough, because a lot of people will look at this, the odds of this player, and they think, it's a win-only bet, but this is an each-way bet. You know, we talk about the packages. You know, shop around. You're going to get, if you get more places, you get a shorter price. It's up to you. It's entirely up to you how you play this. Find the right packages which is for you. 12 each way places available. Bookmakers falling over themselves to get your business. And it's Rory McIlroy. Have an each way bet on Rory McIlroy. I've taken 7-1 and I've got 10 places. I think McIlroy's time has come. It was only a matter of time before he won the Masters. This is his 9th attempt at completing the career Grand Slam of majors. He's finished in the top 10 in 7 of the last 9 Masters. He's been threatening that green jacket. He's often made slow starts, left himself too much catching up to do. I think he's in the best place mentally he's ever been going into the Masters. Yeah, there's a maturity, a calmness, a coolness about him. And I think he's going to get out of the traps, you know, quicker this time and potentially be away and gone. McIlroy's 2023 campaign has built perfectly towards this Masters. He made a change to his schedule this year. He took a little bit extra long time off in the close season. Didn't play until the Dubai Desert Classic. The final week of January, that was. He had his B game that week, and he still won the golf tournament. Psychologically, a huge boost. It turned into a duel. You must remember that golf tournament, Bruce. Turned into a duel with Patrick Reed, Live Rebel.
Oh, yeah, of course it did. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That was one where I wanted a playoff just so we could, you know, we could have all that kind of beefiness
yes,
out.
But, yes, your nasty human instincts wanted to see some beef. But
and that wasn't that where Rory almost went into the drink on 18 and then managed to get up and down?
It's a dramatic golf tournament. Birdie finished to win. And you know, it meant an awful lot to Rory. He was looking for Patrick Reed on that final green. It was a huge psychological blow. And, you know, he's been walking on air since then. And the last tournament he's played is the most significant of all. You know, that WGC match play. Because last month, McIlroy made some changes to his driver. He went back to a shorter shaft in his driver. He also switched back to an old putter. The type of putter that he won his first two majors with, the Scotty Cameron Newport. And those changes have the results of those changes have been spectacularly good. First up, he went on a scouting mission with those new clubs to Augusta, played 36 holes at Augusta. In one of those rounds, he needed 19 putts. He took 19 putts.
Really?
Yeah. So he gets the old putter out. Yeah, the old trusty that he won his first two majors with. Goes to Augusta, took 19 putts in one of those rounds. So the putting sorted. Went to the WGC match play and put on an absolute masterclass of driving. Yeah, have you ever seen anyone drive the ball as confidently as McIlroy did at the match play? Yeah, probably the shot of the season was against Denny McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
So
that was at 370 yarder, wasn't it?
You did the math. I mean, it was incredible golf. And so driving sorted, putting sorted. His iron play has been more consistent than ever for months. You know, this is the key to it because accurate iron play is the key to winning Augusta. You know, McIlroy's never arrived at Augusta with such a long bank of accurate approach play behind him. So his game's just in perfect shape for this assignment. Rewind 12 months. And he came here searching for his game. He just missed the cut in the Texas Open. He made a slow start at Augusta again. Then he had that amazing 64 on the Sunday to finish runner-up. This time he's going to hit the ground running. We've mentioned the changes to the 13th hole. Music to the ears of McIlroy. There's hardly anyone in this field that will be comfortably reaching that green in two. You know, McIlroy's got that power draw around the corner. I think he's going to pick up shots on the field on that hole. You know, Dustin Johnson, you talk about Dustin Johnson, you think, oh, he's a powerhouse. He played in the Masters the week before last, practicing. He laid up every time on 30s. He's out of Justin Johnson's reach now. So, everything points to a McIlroy big performance. Don't forget he's won 3 times in Georgia in the Tour Championship. Who won the Tour Championship last year in Georgia? Who saw off Scotty Scheffler despite giving him loads of shots in Georgia? Rory McIlroy. He's won. He's got a good record in Georgia. And last week, must apologise. I made a Freudian slip last week. Yeah, the dictionary definition of a Freudian slip because I talked about McIlroy at the Champions Dinner, didn't I? My brain must have just sort of already handed him the Masters title.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Remember, we were talking about the atmosphere.
There's going to be a food fight at the Champions Dinner, but then, of course, he's not a champion, is he?
Exactly, yeah. Honestly, it's the most Freudian slip you'll ever see. And, I'm so convinced.
Freudian or just a basic piece of complete negligence in your part?
I'm just so convinced that he's going to win this week.
Oh, you're just preempting.
All year, I've had McIlroy on my mind for this golf tournament because his improvements in his approach play. And I think my old fuddy-duddy brain has just got him down as already a Masters champion. Yeah. But he can attend that dinner next year because he's gonna complete the career Grand Slam this week, and it's hugely hugely exciting. You know, only 5 players have done it. Gene Saracens for me doesn't count as much because the Masters in 19 I'm really rambling here, I sound like an old man, but 1935 the Masters had only just started. Gene Saracen didn't have the pressure that McIlroy's going to have now. There's only been one player that's completed the found at Augusta, and that is Gene Sarazen. And, you know, only the second Masters. I mean, that was like the equivalent of the Hero World Challenge back then. You know, it didn't have that prestige and pressure. You know, McIlroy's going for the ultimate this week, and I think mentally he's ready.
Poor old Gene Sarazen getting besmirched there, and otherwise impassioned case for Rory McIlroy. I do just want to ask you one question, Steve. I know, obviously, you know, talking of passion, Rory has really been sort of the standard bearer in the PGA Tour versus LIV battle. And there have been times where it's clearly taken his toll, and he just said stuff like, you know, I just want to go back to being a professional golfer. You know, is there an issue here? Could some of these, because there's a lot of kind of alphas from the LIV Tour. You know, sure. I mean, could the organisers be a little bit mischievous and pair him with, say, Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed? Could that throw him a bit, do you think?
I don't think the organisers are prone to mischief, are they? They're not mischief makers. And I think since Sawgrass, he's drawn a line under all that, because all the big announcements came out of Sawgrass, and it told on McIlroy then. You know, he had those seven-hour meetings they were talking about. He had early morning meetings. Those meetings were such early starts at Sawgrass. There were meetings the week of Sawgrass. A lot of the players couldn't be bothered to turn up, but McIlroy obviously he's on the player advisory council. He had to turn up. He's been leading that. But I think, Sawgrass, he was knackered by all that. He'd had enough of that. But since then, it's been Masters focus. He's had his scouting trip. He's only played the match play since then. I think that's all behind him now. Yeah, I think he's ready.
Okay. And if he won, what would you do? Beam, fist pump, well up, or cry, do you think?
Beam, fist pump, well up, or cry. Yeah, all of them in that order. I think you've nailed that in chronological order. Oh,
that's like the like, comment, subscribe, and whatever it's there, isn't
it? I'll cry for months on end, yeah.
Oh, lovely. That's nice. Well, let's hope you're crying happy tears on Sunday or Monday, whenever the tournament concludes. But there are three other selections, and if it's not going to be Rory McIlroy, who could it be, do you think? Who's the main danger?
Your next best is Tony Finau, 22-1. Another big hitter will relish the course conditions this week. You know, as I mentioned, Augusta, it's not just this week we're getting rain. It's been raining in all of March in Georgia. More rain coming at the weekend. I think McIlroy, it could be a Tony versus Rory contest. You know, it rolls off the tongue lovely. Finau's become the complete player. He's straighter than ever. He's putting better than ever. And he won three times the PGA Tour in the second half of last year. This year, he's finished in the top 25 in all seven of his stroke play tournaments. He played some good golf at the match play, lost in a sudden death playoff in his group. And his Augusta record, much like his majors record in general, really solid. 10-5, 38, 10-35. He turned up last year out of sorts, found his game later in the year and won those three tournaments. This time, he's full of confidence.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that's it, is it?
No, go for those two. You can have a dual forecast on 10-1 for more ambitious punters.
At what price, sorry, you just cut out there?
110-1, that one, the dual forecast, if you want some ambition.
That was a more succinct case for Finau than I was expecting. You stopped mid-flow. I thought you had a bit more to say, but no, that's fine. Less is more isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he'd be a very popular winner. Yeah, you talk about Rory McIlroy and the tears that would come from Rory McIlroy. I mean, Tony Finau, the Finau fan club is huge as well.
I still haven't watched the Finau Full Swing episode because Netflix are on the blink. I don't know why, but I can't watch anything on Netflix. It's not good news.
Oh, really? No. Yeah, it's a very emotional episode, that. And if Finau wins, he'll be crying himself. He's a very emotional man. And there won't be a dry eye in the house.
No. How many places do you advocate people take on Finau?
You've got to find the package which is right for you. I cannot advocate. I mean, not everyone's got an account with all bookmakers, are they? I mean, it's not as easy to get access to everything as it was in the good old days. I would suggest. I think you want to be getting 10. Yeah. Okay. If you're not getting 10, then you're doing something wrong.
Righty ho, we've got two more tips. Who's bronze medalist in your view?
This is a hugely exciting one for me. I can't wait to watch him in action. It's my favourite golfer since Tiger Woods. It's Minwoo Lee. It's Minwoo Lee. And I think Minwoo Lee, 55-1 now. Yeah, I didn't quite realise how much I go on about Min Woo Lee until Sunday, actually. I was on a family walk on Sunday, and the subject came up of what we'd call our dog if we got a dog. Yeah, there's lots of dog chat.
Oh, good, that's coming again. Along.
It might be a long way down the line, but the chat was started about what we call the dog, and my three-year-old son, Tommy Tiger, just pipes up straight away. His first suggestion was Min Woo Lee. He wants to call the dog Min Woo Lee, which is... Yeah, it's a great name for a dog. It's a great name for a Masters champion. Yeah, Min Woo Lee is gifted. He's only 24. He's got every shot in the book. He can work it both ways. He can hit it high, hit it low. He's enormously powerful. His short game is exquisite. You know, so some of the shots he played in the WC match play from around the greens and in bunkers, he's got the lot. He can get on hot streak for the putters. He's quickly shown he's got the game for majors. He finished 14th on his Masters debut last year. He didn't. That's not all. He tied the scoring record for the front nine. This tournament's been around since 1934. Min Woo just turns up for his debut and breaks the front. Matches the front nine scoring record. 6 under par for his final. His first nine holes on the Sunday. I mean. Yeah, talking about Min Woo Lee gets me very excited. He was 27th on his US Open debut. He was 21st. In last year's Open, he's capable of winning anything. And you saw the other day in the Players' Championship, another debut. Some people don't like me using that pronunciation for debut, but I like it and I'm going to continue doing it. He turned up for his Players' Championship debut and he finished, he contended. You must remember that. You're looking at me with a vacant expression. You don't remember
I'm just, I'm not mad on debut, I must admit.
Are you not mad on debut?
Debut, that's how we say it.
Oh, okay.
Where are you getting debut from?
I just find it amusing. Okay. Am I allowed to be amused?
Someone in the comments the other week accused me of cancelling everything. They said cancel culture's come to the sweet spot. So I dent Kibosh debut. You carry on, mate.
Don't cancel that. But it was an incredible debut by Min Woo Lee at Sawgrass. And he was out in the final two ball with Scotty Scheffler. Yeah, it was a big ask to win from there. It's just progress. I think Min Woo Lee is a potential world number one. I think he's a spectacular golfer. I think he can win this. And yeah, lots of people might say, he's never won a PGA Tour title. But we've seen players win the Masters as their first PGA Tour win. You know, Danny Willett did it. You know, Charles Schwartzel did it.
Fuzzy Zeller.
For him, so...
Fuzzy Zeller? I think that's right, isn't it?
Fuzzy Zeller won it. He won on debut. He won on Augusta debut.
Oh,
Yeah. All right. So it could happen.
Okay, fine. And was Nicola down with the idea of calling the dog Min Woo Lee, or did she poo-poo that straight away?
Well, I'm the member of the family that's least keen on getting the dog. So I think, if it means we get the dog and I get naming rights, then I think that'll be fair game. Yeah. So, yeah, I think Min Woo Lee could be the runner. But it's not going to be for a while.
OK, fair enough. OK, so 3 down, 1 to go. And who is that one, Steve?
That is Sungjae Im, who's 35-1 now. Yeah, the shortest hitter on my team. But well worth an investment at those prices with so many places on offer. I just can't see Sungjae Im having a bad week. This tournament might become a real grind. As you mentioned, the weather. Yeah, if the course gets really drenched, maybe everyone would be laying up at the par fives if it gets that bad. Don't forget the temperatures as well. Did we mention them? Yeah, very, very cold weekend as well. So the ball won't be travelling as far. Yeah, if it becomes a war of attrition, I think Sungjae Im may be best equipped for that challenge. He's lived in Georgia for a couple of years. Yeah, I remember he was a sort of nomad living in hotels for many years. But for the last 2 years, he's lived in Duluth. And he likes playing in his adopted home state. He was runner-up on his Masters debut in 2020. Last year, he finished 8th. So he's proved himself at Augusta. He was runner-up in the Tour Championship, the other big tournament in Georgia, last August. And just such a solid all-rounder. He was 6th in the Players' Championship in his last stroke play start. And his caddy for that event was noteworthy, Lance Bennett. Lance Bennett came onto Sungjae's bag at Sawgrass. Lance Bennett is really experienced. We have world-class caddy, a three-time Ryder Cupper. He's tough as old boots, is Lance Bennett. I think it'll prove a great switch for Sung Jae. I think they're going to be a really good combination. Maybe he'll help him become a major champion on Sunday.
That's a great caddy's name, isn't it? Lance Bennett. Brilliant. Yeah.
He's a top man, is Lance Bennett. Yeah, yeah. He's been through a lot in his life, and he's a really, really. He lost his wife. Left with a young daughter. His wife died suddenly. He's left with a young daughter. He's a really, really sound of mind. And I think he'll help Sung Jae.
If any of your tips win, it's going to be so emotional, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's pure emotion in every one of these stories. Sung Jae took inspiration from what Hideki Matsuyama did. Showing that, that was the first Asian to win the Masters. I think Sung Jae and Hideki get on well. I'm excited by those four. By those four. I guess you want to discuss others, though, don't you?
Well, is that right? Yeah. It would be remiss of us not to, wouldn't it? So I'm going to say the player's name, and you're going to tell us what you think. We'll start with the other two of the big three, as we now have in world golf. Defending champion Scottie Scheffler. And I'm going to put this to you, Steve. He's just playing so well. You know he loves the course. What on earth's stopping him getting in the places and indeed successfully defending?
The fact he is defending champion is a significant negative. Defending champions have got a terrible record at Augusta. Three of the last six defending champions have missed the cut. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of responsibilities for a defending champion. You've got to host that champion's dinner on the Tuesday. It's not like you can get that out of the way early in the week. On a Tuesday night, you're at the champion's dinner. You've got to do a speech. You got to, and this particular one is really, really going to be a nightmare for Scheffler. It's going to be a room full of tension. Just imagine, Patrick Reed's going to be in there. Phil Mickelson's going to be in there. Sergio Garcia's going to be in there. These are three sort of troublemakers. I know it seems trivial to talk about, but I think Scheffler's going to have a lot on his mind on the Tuesday. And as I say, it's just the record of defending champions is so poor. So, I much prefer McIlroy at almost exactly the same price.
There's no real science there, is there? Fair enough. The one thing I am going to do, Steve, is make sure that if Scheffler wins, I don't lose. Because I just think he is so good and this is his time of year. So, Take on board what you're saying, as people say, and they disagree with someone. But right then, let's talk
with
about
respect.
Let's talk about Big Johnny Rahm. What do you like about, or what do you dislike about his chances?
Well, the last month has not gone to plan. Yeah, it feels like if McIlroy's peaked for this, which I feel he has. Feels like Rahm's peaked too early this year. Unlike McIlroy, he teed up straight away. Century tournament of champions. He's played eight tournaments this year. Very active from the first week of January onwards and dominant. Played all his best golf for the year in those early months. But the last month, 39th at Bay Hill was poor. He got ill at Sawgrass and was out of action for a bit. And then he had a group stage elimination in the match play. So he's just dropped a level at an unfortunate time.
Okay, let's talk about the tier two operators, as I think we can now call them. That's Jordan Spieth, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Morikawa. Those guys who are sort of, they've shown they've got the game to win majors, but quite often just come up short when it comes to the big three who seem to duff everybody up these days. Is there a particular fancy there?
Jordan Spieth is Mr. Augusta, as we've spoken about. He loves the course, but just not convincing enough for me. He literally goes from the sublime to the ridiculous, doesn't he? He makes too many mistakes for me. Hasn't beaten a world-class field for almost 6 years. The 2017 Open was his last victory in a top-class event. So, 16-1, not for me. Justin Thomas, I backed him a million times for this. His iron play made for Augusta, but he's putting poorly again.
Putting pitiful, isn't it? Yeah. Bad on the greens.
I think he'd be there or there or thereabouts. I can't trust him on the greens. Patrick Cantlay, a regular disappointment in the majors. This is a FedEx Cup champion. A seemingly fearless character, but he just always seems to flop at the majors. I respect his chance. Cantlay will be there or thereabouts. I like saying that. Cameron Smith, I think. 22-1 Cameron Smith, no interest in that. He was 26.
Can we talk about the livers at the end?
Yeah, let's talk about the livers.
There's 18 of them, and you can obviously, there's a tournament within a tournament. Unfortunately, they've got to play four rounds for their money this week. But if you want an idea about who's going to be top liver, Cam Smith, currently favourite in that market, ran about 17-4. Dustin Johnson, 9-2. Brooks Koepka, 7-1. Reed, 11. Neiman 11, Oosthuizen 14, so is Bryson, so is Abraham, Anser and Pereira, and it's 18 bars. So that's an interesting one. I guess, you know, the main question is, can any of these livers live with the other guys?
Well, yeah, you're right. They've been exhausted having to play four rounds, weren't they? I mean, all joking aside, I mean, some of them are significantly rusty. I mean, Dustin Johnson's played only nine rounds. Rustin Johnson, brilliant. I so wish I came up with that. Rustin Johnson's played nine competitive rounds. This year he basically, Liv Golf Miami, which was, what was that, October? He didn't touch a club from Liv Golf Miami to this year's Liv Golf Mayakoba. Reports say he just partied for all that time. He came back and was rubbish in the Mayakoba event, slightly better in Tucson, slightly better last week. But, you know, nine competitive rounds is not enough. So, yeah, I mean, of the livers, you know, Cameron Smith has had this niggling wrist injury as well. He was 26th of 48 runners in Orlando on Sunday. So I don't like Cameron Smith despite...
What about Brooks then? I mean, Brooks. That's really interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, around about 33-1, there'll be a lot of people thinking, and particularly if they watched him on full swing, he was at such a low ebb and he'd forgotten how to win and he didn't think he'd ever get back in there. And he won at Crooked Cat last week. And could that be the springboard for a Masters triumph?
Well, he's the first liver to win twice on that circuit. He won at Jeddah last year, now he's won at Crooked Cat. I mean, the most fascinating thing about this is that Brooks Koepka is the same price to win this Masters as he was to win Live Golf Orlando last week. I mean, yeah, 40-1, I think, is the best available at the moment on Koepka. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the Live circuit is weak. It's weak. It's not. It's, you know, they're rubbish golf courses. They're not. They're pretty straightforward golf courses. Three rounds, no genuine competition. I don't think it's good preparation. I think he's probably the. I think you've identified the most likely Live winner. I mean, yeah, some very unsavoury comments from Greg Norman about how they're going to react if a liver wins. Have you seen all that? They're all going to be on the 18 of them. The gang of 18 are going to be on the 18th green if one of them wins and run on the green. I mean, it all sounds...
Pathetic imbeciles. Oh, it's just honestly, I'll be switching off if that happens. I'm not interested in the sight of all those people doing that.
Pleasant viewing if that happens, because Augusta is a place for decorum and dignity. And if they all rush on, start making a song and dance because a liver wins, then they're not going to win any more friends. I think that's a bad move. But yeah, I think Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed are the only two I can see doing it. Koepka's clearly playing well. He's had lots of injury problems. It's probably the first time in a long while he's come to Augusta with reasonably healthy. Koepka might do it. Patrick Reed might do it because everything's just water off the duck's back to Patrick Reed, doesn't it? He could have chicken thrown at him all night at that Champions dinner. It wouldn't affect him at all.
No, interesting. It's gonna be very, very interesting. By the way, last week we set Jack Reeve the target because he's over there and he went to Crooked Cat and we set him the task of trying to find out why it's called Crooked Cat. And he said he asked about 40 people and they all said they didn't have a clue. So apologies for that, Jack.
Sam Horsfield played quite well, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, we got a little bit of dough out of that. Would you like to know the sort of near close to selections, as I like to call them?
The people who, if they win, you'll be kicking yourself almost in your case literally. Everyone else does it figuratively, but you probably will actually kick yourself.
At least they ain't got a dartboard anymore. I used to use darts in those scenarios, didn't I?
Long time ago.
Cameron Young, very interesting runner, isn't he? Because he played so well in that match play. It was golf from the gods.
And he's got his new caddy, hasn't he? What's he called?
Paul Tesori, it was his first tournament, was the match play. They went all the way to the final and he played some incredible golf. But that is match play golf. It's a different mentality, loosens you up a little bit. He's an attacking player. I mean, he's got all the tools to destroy Augusta. But when I looked at the prices on the start of the week, I just thought, it's too short. So he's never won on the PGA Tour. He's never made a cut in the Masters. His debut last year and he missed a cut. So, toying with Cameron Young. And Victor Hovland was the other one I was having an R-ing. You know, his driving is a massive asset this week. You know, and a long soft Augusta, he's a world class player. I think Hovland will win majors. I think we're finishing the top 10 this week. I don't think he'll hold enough putts to win.
Okay, can I ask you about a couple of other players? Corey Connors, who won the Texas Open last week, his only two tour wins have come in that. And the reason he catches my eye is that he's been top 10 in the last 3 years at Augusta. Yeah. So. He'd be one that, you know, I mean, he's like Thomas, his putting's not brilliant, isn't it? But if you want someone to find those greens in regulation, he's your man, isn't he?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, he's an absolute machine at finding greens in regulation. I think, again, he'll give a decent account of himself. So I just don't think he's got the minerals for this. You know, we saw him in the President's Cup, and, you know, at crunch time in the President's Cup, he couldn't hack it. Yeah, I think his temperament is questionable. It's all very well winning a Texas Open. Winning the Masters is an entirely different thing. I think Corey Connors, the best way to support Corey Connors is for top Canadian. Not the most ambitious bet in the world. It's a shade of odds on, but I think the others in that market have got absolutely no chance of contending. Whereas, as you say, Connors will probably be on the leaderboard at some stage.
Okay, what about my man Max Homer?
Yeah. I mean, a terrible majors record, but yeah, a different golfer these days. Full of confidence. Yeah, natural fader of the ball, not ideal on many holes at Augusta. I just prefer others. I mean, I've got some bets for specials bets. Would you like them? I picked out the best of them.
Okay, can I just have a very quick line on Will Zalatoris? He was the other one.
You can. Yeah. I mean, he made a very encouraging return from injury, didn't he? He was out for a long time. He modified his swing slightly to help his back. And it looked like he's back to the old Will Zalatoris straight away. But yeah, the last month's been really, really, really poor. The last two Masters, he's been great. That's what's caught your eye. I'm not sure he's playing well enough to do it this time.
Okay, mate. Right, so you've got, obviously, I mean, if you go on any bookmaker's website, there is a phenomenal array of markets. So there's loads and loads to get stuck into. What have you got for us away from the main who's going to actually win it market?
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be more in the pullout. You know, Masters pullout.
Oh, yes, let's give that a plug. A plug even. 16 pages in Wednesday's Racing Post. Absolutely packed full of stats, info, all the odds, all the each-way terms so you can make your best bets. Really, really brilliant stuff. Do make sure you get hold of that. So come on and give us a taste of some of the things you're doing here.
More bets in the subsidiary markets, as I like to say. There's a couple. Justin Rose, the fine young man. Let's discuss Justin Rose.
Okay.
I think Justin Rose can get a top 20 finish. He's 15-8 for that. Yeah, we're talking about a seasoned Augusta campaigner. He's finished in the top 20 in the Masters 10 times. He's twice finished runner-up in the Masters. He's got his confidence back this year. He won at Pebble Beach and missing the match play. Some punters might go, oh, why did he miss the match play? He did qualify for the event. It was not down to any injury. That was entirely his choice. He actually attended a school concert in Surrey on the Friday of the match play. I know one of the dads who's at that school.
Wow.
And he was also at that concert. So he skipped the match play, because he's a fine young man. You know, wanted to see his kid at the concert. And obviously keep himself fresh for the Masters. I think Justin Rose will finish in the top 20. And then the other one I like is Louis Oosthuizen to miss the cut. Yeah, it's quite hard to miss the cut in the Masters because, as you say, there's a lot of chaff in this field. But 2-1 is sufficiently big for me to be back in Oosthuizen to miss the cut because he's injured. This is an injured golfer. He's
beware the injured golf. Their way to say, don't they?
It depends how injured they are, doesn't it? Yeah, it's basically his left elbow. He's got a tendon in his left elbow which is hanging by a thread. It needs surgery, but he spoke to the surgeon. The surgeon said, "Yeah, obviously that's going to rule you out for the entire live golf season." You know, who's thousands of liver these days? So basically, he's delaying the surgery so he can play the live golf season. He's wearing a brace on the elbow, taking painkillers when it gets swollen. But he says he can't hit many balls or it just swells up. And he was tailed off last week in Orlando. So, yeah, I think he's worth chancing to miss the cut. And then at a bigger price, if you want a bigger price, maybe a case of putting too many eggs in a single basket. But I think 22-1 about Rory McIlroy winning this tournament by 4 shots or more. Is very, very tempting because we know when it clicks for Rory McIlroy, it can be absolutely devastating. He's won a US Open by 8 shots. He's won a US PGA by 8 shots. I think he's definitely playing well enough to win this by lots of shots. And
get a decent winning margin in this, can't you? I guess that's because if you're in front, the others have got a tack to come and get you and make mistakes. But
It's not a course to play catch up on. I mean, yeah, Scheffler would have won by four shots last year if he hadn't four putted the final hole. Do you remember?
Started playing hockey, basically, on that final.
Yeah, Happy Gilmore goal. McRoy's got a history of making slow starts at Augusta. If he makes that fast start on Thursday, which is the scoring day, you know, the best of the weather by far is on the Thursday, then confidence will flood through the Little Masters system, or the Prince, the Little Prince, as Brendan Jute likes to call him.
Yes, exactly, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And of course, we better talk about Tiger. I've just seen one firm offers a boosted evens that he makes the cut. What do you think of that?
Tiger to make the cut at evens? Well, yeah, I mean, he made the cut the other day, didn't he, in the Genesis. He seems to be moving okay. Yeah, I think he probably will battle through to make the cut. Augusta now. Because the thing is, those cold temperatures are on Saturday and Sunday. It gets really cold at the weekend. You don't want to be around Tiger Woods in cold temperatures. You know, his back sort of tightens up. He's got all sorts of ailments. He'd want it as warm as possible. Thursday, yeah, I think Tiger will shoot a sufficiently good score on Thursday to make the cut.
Okay. Some funny old names down there, aren't there? I mean, this is the Masters. Who's Gordon Sargent when he's at home? Or Harrison Crowe? Or Aldrich Potgieter? I mean,
Sargent is the first amateur to be invited to the Masters. He's got a special invite for this for 23 years. I mean, that shows the respect that the Augusta bigwigs have for Sargent. I mean, we were speculating last week that Charles Alvacarpet might get an invite, but that hasn't materialised. But he's a really, really big hitter with a massive future, and the Augusta bigwigs wanted him there.
Who'd you like for top veteran? I love that market.
I think Mickelson is still delivering that. He's the favourite, isn't he? I couldn't find anyone to oppose. Mickelson's still, he's still got this love affair with Augusta. I'd still angle towards him.
It's going to be great, and you've really got me in the mood there, Steve. That's brilliant.
I'm glad it's dampened your spirits.
No, you haven't dampened it at all. You've heightened it. I just can't wait. I can't wait for Thursday for the action to get underway.
And have we got Grand National to go with it, have we?
No, we haven't. The Grand National's the week after this.
Oh, the week after. Oh, even better, even better.
Yeah, so you've got devote all your attention to the golf this week, and then Aintree the following week. So that's good, isn't it? And of course, you've got that brilliant, one of the greatest apps ever created is the Masters app, isn't it? You can watch every single shot from every player. It's absolutely marvellous. So
I shall be, because as always, the tournament clashes with my wife's birthday. And to get the attention she deserves, she's heading north to Brighton. I ain't got time.
North to Brighton. You live in Weymouth, don't you? I didn't think you lived in Dieppe.
Everything's north of Weymouth, isn't it?
It's more east, isn't it?
Dorchester's north of Weymouth. Everything's north of Weymouth.
No, Brighton's east of Weymouth. She's heading east.
Northeast. And they can make cakes for her. And that's I'll be home, basically.
Will you for the entire weekend?
For the entire tournament, I think, pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, wow. What day is her actual birthday this time?
Friday.
What have you got her?
Well, she sometimes tunes into this, so be remiss of the. It's a decent present. I think she'd be delighted.
You're happy, yeah. Brilliant. Okay, well, I think that's about it. We've got nothing else to say, have we?
I don't think we have.
We should reiterate the tips.
Oh, yes, just reiterate
Who
the
are
tips.
Your Fab Four for the Masters?
Rory McIlroy, Tony Finau, Min Woo Lee, Sung Jae Im.
Brilliant stuff. All right, Steve.
Names, aren't they? Very short names.
They are. Yeah. If you're getting those on replica shirts, you'd be saving a fortune then, wouldn't you? Brilliant. Right, that's a wrap then for the sweet spot. Thank you very much, Steve. Good luck with everything this week. Hope it goes well. Thank you very much to producer Will. Most of all, though, thank you for tuning into the sweet spot. We're here every week. Next week, we're looking at the RBC Heritage and hopefully celebrating a good week. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. Whether Steve's tips win or not, always one of the highlights of the sporting year. Enjoy the golf. We'd love to see you next week for another sweet spot.